5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Daily Roto Hour here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined by Colin Drew. Every week on the show, we go through the main slate for NFL Daily Fantasy on DraftKings and FanDuel, running through game by game, going to go through all of the contests that are there on the main slate. And, you know, Colin, I got to be honest, I'm looking at these games. I don't feel as jazzed up as I did last week. You know, I thought last week there were a lot of really good spots. I thought there were a lot of really good games. I'm not seeing it as much this week, to be 100%.
Well, you're in a little heater yourself to start the year. So, I mean, it's nice when you're a Cowboys fan, you can just stack your favorite team and then and print money. So, I mean, feels like that's still in play again this week.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing is I just have been making all this money by stacking the Dallas Cowboys, but I think they might win this game. I think that there's actually a real chance that, you know, they don't fumble on offense like four times in the first half. So in the second half, I don't know if they're gonna, you know, wanting to throw the ball 35 times, and that's a little bit of a bummer because we want Dak right now, who has 1,600 passing yards through 4 weeks. I mean, he's on pace to break like every passing record that there is in the NFL. But we are going to start with a different game. We are going to start with the Las Vegas Raiders playing against the Kansas City Chiefs. There is maybe a little bit of a COVID threat with this game because it turns out that Stephen Gilmore tested positive for the coronavirus after playing that game in Kansas City on Monday night. So maybe this game ends up not being a part of the main slate. But if it does, I think you have to be very into this game because these are, you know, the Chiefs are still, you know, like the second or third best offense in football in terms of yards per play. And the Raiders have looked a little bit better on offense as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is, you know, the fifth week of the season. There is some value on the slate, and we'll get to that specifically in a game that could allow these players to be more affordable. The issue with the Chiefs stacks is not usually whether or not they have a massive ceiling with like 4 to 5 touchdown upside. It's just whether or not the slate dynamics let you fit in that much spend at the passing side of things. So I definitely think you're always going to get Mahomes, Kelce, Hill being viable on the slate. And I think all those guys will be single digit ownership this week. And I think the optimistic side of stacking the Chiefs is potentially whether or not you think that Sammy Watkins or Mecole Hardman can have a ceiling game at their price tags, because they would make a double stack or even a triple stack with Mahomes very affordable at just 4,400 and 4,500 respectively. And it did seem like Hardman, you know, I know you've been wishing for it to happen the whole time, but it did seem like the last couple of weeks, he's finally starting to get more snaps in addition to more opportunities than DeMarcus Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, so that week 4 game against the Patriots was actually the very first time that both of those guys were healthy and Mecole Hardman played more snaps. So, you know, that I think is actually a huge signal. And I think if you were looking at one of the ways where you could play a low-owned guy who has, you know, a 25-30 fantasy point ceiling, I definitely think Mecole Hardman is one of those guys this week. And on the Raiders side, you know, their bring back options in Kansas City Chiefs stacks are, you know, all very affordable, right? We have Waller at 5,900, Renfro at 4,900. And then, I mean, depending on what happens at wide receiver, Zay Jones, Nelson Aguilar, like these guys are totally free.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the news on Oakland is just going to shape really value there. Whether or not we get Edwards, Ruggs, and how that would impact things would shape a bit of the slate, because, or at least the bringbacks there, because Renfro, I think, would lose some value if Ruggs were to come back, just because they are sharing or were sharing some of the slot responsibilities. But Josh Jacobs is also in play at 6,300. You're talking about a guy who's getting more than 75% of the carries for this team, and it's possible he'll be involved in the passing game. Devontae Booker probably will step into Jalen Richard's role a little bit if he misses, but Jacobs has still been getting around 10% of the team's targets. And, you know, the Patriots, they were able to keep it close enough that they were able to generate offense on the ground. And so it's definitely plausible that Jacobs is still in play. He's definitely going to be overlooked, I think, in tournaments just because of the road matchup. But the, I guess maybe the team total is high enough to get people there.
So I think my issue with Josh Jacobs is there are just too many elite running back plays this week, right? So we have, you know, we have Mike Davis, Ezekiel Elliott, we have Kareem Hunt, we have James Conner, we have James Robinson. Like, I think that my plan heading into the week is definitely going to be, I would really like to be underweight on Josh Jacobs.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair. Right now, it kind of depends. We've got 15% public percent. I think that's, I guess, a little bit higher than I would have expected, but I was thinking potentially he'd fit the bill for like a mix and type overlooked, but maybe the team total's high enough that won't happen.
Yeah, I definitely think that is possible. We have just a couple minutes here until break, so let's go through a game that is really not all that desirable or may not happen. Buffalo, Tennessee. Looking like this game, if I was a wagering man, I would guess that this game probably does not happen with more positive taps for the Titans. It does happen, though. Are we officially into Josh Allen? You can just run him naked and you don't have to use any wide receivers with him because he'll throw the ball to anybody and it doesn't matter.
I still think it matters for if you're going to get a ceiling game from your quarterback, it's really ideal to check multiple boxes in that lineup. And so if I'm not going to get that out of a quarterback, I'd rather probably spend down. And so for me, Josh Allen's still a guy I'm looking to stack with at least one of his weapons, but definitely get what you're saying. And the de facto goal line back is the type of player you can run naked. I would just, you know, given other, there's a lot of great top quarterback options. So I'd probably deviate more towards a more stackable high price guy than going with Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think so. My thoughts on that is the reason I more so want to stack Josh Allen because of the bring back stuff, like thinking that, you know, the way to beat these Dak teams, the way to beat these Lamar teams, the way to beat these Mahomes teams is going to be when you're making all the correlated decisions. And so like really you're kind of hoping that Diggs or Brown gets like, you know, 18, 19, 20, you know, fantasy points, but that the other team really has to go nuts to keep up with the Bills offense. And, you know, it kind of just uses those correlated roster spots, which is just makes it easier to build teams, right? Like at the end of the day, it's just about finding easier ways to make money in daily fantasy contest. We've gone through Las Vegas, Kansas City, Buffalo, Tennessee, if it does or does not happen, but probably the game of the week for many fantasy players, Colin, is going to be the Atlanta Falcons playing at the Carolina Panthers. Where do we start breaking down this game?
Yeah, so I mean, the biggest piece of news is Julio Jones did leave that Monday Night Football game with an injury to his hamstring, re-aggravated that, and if he's out, Zacchaeus is going to be one of the best value plays on the entire slate. With the late game on Monday, you're not going to get any pricing adjustments. Salary is already released, so he's just $3,000, and basically in the non-Julio snaps, he's playing more than 75% of the team's targets, kind of filling in on the outside wide receiver position. And I think that he's kind of the free square play in cash formats. So I felt like that was the place to start. And just in general, Atlanta's running top five volume of plays and their opponents are top five volume of plays against. And so I do expect a lot of plays generated in this game. Both these teams have two or three stackable options. So it's especially good because you can kind of diversify and get exposure to both some of the top projected combinations as well as some less popular combinations without really sacrificing too much value in your lineups.
Yeah, and so for people who are hearing the name Olamide Zaccheaus and they're like, well, that's a creative player? Like, that can't possibly be, you know, that can't possibly be a real guy. He actually was a really solid college player at the University of Virginia, was used as a receiver and a rusher, and was, like, really basically the best player for his college team, and has been, you know, has had decent efficiency numbers in, you know, the limited times that he's actually gotten NFL snaps. Obviously, he's played behind Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones for, you know, his NFL career. So has not gotten a lot of opportunity as a result of that. One thing I wanted to cover as it pertains to this game, I mean, Mike Davis is not only basically getting Christian McCaffrey's workload, like, almost one for one already, but Reggie Bonifant is now placed on the injured reserve with an ankle injury. They haven't used Trenton Cannon at all, like, basically who was the active running back ahead of Bonifant for the first 2 weeks of the season. And the thought that Curtis Samuel was going to be a running back is, like, they completely abandoned it after 2 weeks. So, I mean, Mike Davis right now in our projections, our first run, he is projected for more points than Zeke, more points than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, I mean, he's the best play of the slate.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And I mean, you throw in any of the additional narratives on top of that, as far as pass catching running backs versus Falcons, you look at what the combination of Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams did to the Falcons on Monday Night Football. And then you've got Atlanta on the short week, Carolina with a 26 point total. So it's going to be a tough play to get away from Davis. I think the way you potentially get away from it in tournaments is you're looking at stacking the passing attack there. Davis is a guy I think you could include in Teddy Bridgewater stacks, but Bridgewater himself is just $5,900 on DraftKings on this slate, and all of his weapons are 6K or cheaper. And so if you're able to double stack Bridgewater with DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, and hope to capture some of the touchdown variants, you know, Mike Davis did get trolled a couple times at the goal line last week. And so there are ways to pivot off it in tournaments, but Davis does seem like the best, you know, overall running back value for, especially for cash games, and the guy that you want to have plenty of exposure to in tournaments as well.
Yeah. And we definitely need to make the point that, you know, many people are going to be disappointed by DJ Moore, especially after last week at 5,600, not coming through against the Cardinals. But I mean, he still is 10th in the NFL. Yeah, I mean, he's 10th in the NFL in weighted opportunity ranking. He still has 23% market share of their targets. It's just, you know, basically a confluence of things has kind of led to him being disappointing. I mean, would I tell anyone they were, like, wrong for playing Robbie Anderson over him? No, but I think that whereas last week DJ Moore was, like, an insanely chalky play, my thoughts are this week is that you're actually going to get some negative bias as it pertains to him, and it's going to make him a stronger play.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the data models will now have Robbie Anderson, if they're just running on, like, this year's data, with, like, 25% of the targets, will have him ahead on target share, and with the cheaper price tag, then I think it'll maybe be more of a compelling decision. But I guess, where do you sit on Robbie Anderson? Do you still consider him a pretty strong play? I know his catch rate, Mike Leone was posting some stuff on Twitter, like, his catch rate is at a career high, probably unsustainably so, but he still has been pretty heavily utilized in this offense.
So I think what is so fascinating is many people projecting this Carolina Panthers offense thought that Robbie Anderson would be the deep threat and thought that DJ Moore would be the possession wide receiver, and that is not what has happened this year. DJ Moore is, you know, getting way more air yards than Robbie Anderson. His average depth of target is way deeper. So I don't think it is absurd to see Robbie Anderson being projected for more fantasy points than DJ Moore this week. I think you could very rationally, you know, play Robbie Anderson over him, but I think both are really strong.
Yeah, and then anything else from this game? I think, you know, Todd Gurley, I'm not really interested in.
Yeah, he's no, thank you.
He's lost a lot of the passing game work to Brian Hill. He's still getting basically all the goal line work, so on FanDuel where touchdowns matter, like, he does have multi-touchdown upside. They do have a pretty high team total. We saw that on Monday Night Football as well, but he's basically only returning value if he scores multi-touchdowns at this point.
Yeah, one touchdown is going to be like 14 DraftKings points. Like, it's not gonna get the job done. All right, moving to the Jacksonville at Houston game. DJ Chark returns in a big way last week, two receiving touchdowns. No Bill O'Brien for the Houston Texans. And, you know, what a spot for the organization to try and get back on track right now. The Houston Texans have a team total of 31 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So, Yeah, I mean, was it Will Fuller season? Is it Deshaun Watson season? What are we thinking about this game?
Yeah, the Texans. I mean, I don't honestly know when a team loses their coach how you go about and react to that, both just in terms of like overall mentality, but also specifically if it's going to change like the play calling and things like that, how individual players are utilized and whether that stuff happens immediately or if it happens slowly over time. So I usually stay the course, and you're still getting a pretty massive team total here with the Texans. So I do think that puts them squarely into the tournament mix. Deshaun Watson is a kind of a notch cheaper than some of the other top quarterback plays on the slate. But Will Fuller has now been priced very appropriately, kind of up near peak pricing. One of the biggest surprises for me last week. So there were like Adam Trautman was massively owned at cash games.
Oh yeah, he was.
I totally understood that because he was like the stone minimum, and there was kind of a narrative into him stepping into some outsized opportunity. But Brandon Cooks was massively popular as well. Took a zero, and that actually floored me because I felt like there were tons of other reasonable plays that were priced similarly at wide receiver. Do you feel like Cooks is a guy, knowing that tons of sharps were on him last week, that you're interested in rostering this week, or is it still just a
no? He's Chris Hogan. He is a wind sprinter. He had the good game in week two. He's going to rack up some air yards, but no, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in him really at all. I think that Fuller and the running backs are just going to, and Stills, right? Stills is going to get in there and is going to get some of those deep targets as well. So I'm just not really interested. On the Jacksonville side, Laviska Shenault is dealing with a hamstring injury. James Robinson is cold workhorse running back, and he, like, just because of the negative bias associated with the Jaguars, I mean, he just is not going to get owned. Like, you're going to be able to play James Robinson all season long at like 8%.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I would say I'm still a little bit skittish. I guess he's kind of had some of the weeks where he is, and I mean, I guess every week he's been involved in the passing game. Some weeks he's kind of ceded a lot of snaps to some of the depth running backs, and then, you know, the other week, like last week, he played more than 70% of the team snaps. And so I guess I have some concerns about Robinson there. I prefer Jacobs if I'm playing like a road dog running back with some questionable concerns about passing involvement. But I do understand where you're coming from, and I definitely agree that he'll be like a peg lower.
Yeah. And, you know, just unfortunately, DraftKings pricing has it's just gotten too sharp, because if Shenault doesn't play, Keelan Cole is 4,700. I mean, are you interested in the point shaver Chris Conley at 3,300 if Shenault is unable to play with his hamstring injury?
No, I wouldn't be too interested in him. I mean, I think Keelan Cole he's fine, but the ceiling's not really there. He's just kind of playing the D.D. Westbrook role from last year. I think he's kind of locked. If Shenault's out, he's probably locked into like 18% of the targets, but I don't see like a ton generated beyond that.
Yeah, I think that seems about reasonable. I mean, this game, I would be interested in this game for bring purposes, because I do think that the Texans might just score a whole lot of points in this game. You know, they have an easy mashup. They want to show Bob what they can do. So I think this is actually a really interesting tournament spot. Didn't mention David Johnson. I guess we need to mention David Johnson. He's cheap.
Yeah, very cheap. 5,200. I mean, he only saw 55% of the snaps last week, the first game Duke Johnson was back. So if you're looking for a reason not to play him, I guess there's kind of your pause as far as the overall consideration. But even projected for just 50% of the market share of rush attempts for this team and around 50% of the rushing touchdowns as well, he's still popping into a ton of optimal lineups, just trying to get some of the salary that you need to jam in some of these other high-priced players. So I think he's going to be in play in tournaments as well, especially given the team total for the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to play him at all. I think those running back spots are too valuable. If I don't win this week, you know, if I end up with good teams but not great teams because David Johnson was required to, you know, get to the right part of lineups, then whatever, so be it. I'll lose because of that, and that's fine. Yeah. Our next game, we have Philadelphia against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Seems like we are going to have Deontay Johnson back in this game. The Pittsburgh Steelers wide receivers are really not projecting well in our stuff. Maybe something to take a look at, actually, because I feel like they should be projecting a little bit better than they are. Though the team total is not absurd, you know, at only 25.5. I think that Deontay Johnson is at 5,600 is an incredibly strong play, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the reason with Pittsburgh is Just trying to figure out how the targets are going to be divvied up a little bit. Juju Smith-Schuster hasn't had the strongest start to the year, has kind of been second in the pecking order to Deontay Johnson. And then you have James Washington and Chase Claypool, who have kind of become progressively more involved on a week-to-week basis. So a little bit spread out between those guys and Eric Ebron, which is why I think it holds them down a little bit. Also, just this NFL this season, like a 25-point team total last year might have been one of the highest team totals on the slate. But this week we have got a multiple of guys, or teams rather, who are up above 28 points. So I think that the overall dynamics there are holding things down, as well as just expecting a more run heavy approach from Pittsburgh in this game. And so I don't think I'm interested in the $6,900 James Conner as far as like a core play. But I think that's kind of why things are flowing through the way that they're projected.
Yeah, I mean, I think that sounds rational from a projections perspective, but I am still going to be boosting Deontay a little bit in my runs. Yeah. So what can you do?
I think, the other side of things is, man, it's hard to figure out what to do with the Eagles. It's almost like the beginning of the week, you're just like, I shouldn't even bother to make projections for this team until Friday, because who knows who's going to be dressed for this team. They did roll out. They had bodies active for their last game, but it was guys that, you know, you had Greg Ward, but beyond that, you felt like you were playing whack-a-mole, trying to guess which guy was going to get targeted. A brutal matchup for them against Pittsburgh. So I think outside of Miles Sanders, it's almost a situation where you're staying away entirely. Are you even like frisky enough to go to Miles Sanders because you know the workload is going to be there, or is it just too thin at this point?
No, I think that Miles Sanders is a really strong single entry and three max running back play, because we know he'll probably get, you know, 5 to 8 targets. We know he'll probably get, 18 to 24 rushes, kind of depending on the game script. I know it did not happen that way against the San Francisco 49ers, and he could have another really disappointing game like that. But in that $6,500 range, you know, we would expect him to be really not owned. Like, we would expect him to just basically be sort of anonymous in terms of how many rosters he is on. So I think that anytime you can find, you know, 20 plus touches at like basically no ownership, you have to be pretty interested in that.
Yeah. Yeah. And early stuff has him somewhere between 5% and 10%. So maybe not totally anonymous, but definitely not one of the more popular running backs in the slate.
Yeah. All right, moving to our next game here, we have the Arizona Cardinals at the New York Jets. The Cardinals offense is definitely kind of reverting to what it looked like in 2019. I mean, the difference is, DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, fantastic for fantasy football purposes, but Kenyon Drake looks awful, right? Just got dinged up at the end of their last game. Chase Edmonds scored the touchdown. I think he had 15 PPR points. Gotta say, I'm not doing it with Kenyon Drake this week. I know it's a great matchup and all. Like, I'm not doing it. I will definitely be playing a little bit of Kyler. I think Kyler, again, by the way, is someone you can play naked in these contests.
Yes. I mean, I think Kyler, DeAndre Hopkins are kind of the safe, secure plays. I guess would inactives end up tilting your mind at all as far as the Cardinals backfield? Because, you know, I think we still haven't seen Eno Benjamin active. But if he was to be active, then obviously that is maybe a sign that Drake is insecure in his role. And they also added a running back from the practice squad. So, you know, another potential, like not a red flag, but a yellow flag. But if they still only have two running backs active, then I think the $5,700 price tag is at least worth pausing on. They do have a 27-point total. And so I would kind of let the inactive reports dictate my comfort level there with the Kenyon Drake play. If you're not interested in Drake, $4,700 Chase Edmonds, is that any interest to you, or is this just a backfield to avoid entirely?
Oh, I mean, if Drake does not play for whatever reason, I would think Edmonds would be one of the best plays of the slate. But even if we get a report like, oh, they're going to scale Drake's workload back, or, you know, we get the Cardinals don't have any good beat writers. That's something that's weird about this situation. Like, they're literally one of a few NFL teams that doesn't have really strong beat writers, but we might get something like, you know, they want to see what Edmonds can do or something like that. And I would actually be interested in playing him because I think he's pretty good. And I think that he would be featured in a pass catching role for sure.
Yeah. And then on the Jets side of things, I mean, there's some news to discuss. Breshad Perriman might be back in the lineup. Jeff Smith started for the first time last week, drew a lot of targets. Jameson Crowder will be back in the lineup. like he was last week. And then Le'Veon Bell might also be back in the lineup. So potentially getting some healthy bodies back, but still, I mean, I'm not interested in a Joe Flacco-led offense.
Oh, I would not play any Jets. I would be no bring backs, and that kind of makes me not really that interested in this game from a fantasy perspective. Moving to the Los Angeles Rams at the Washington football team, Kyle Allen is going to be taking the helm for the Washington football team this week. Got to say, really the only WFT player I want to play is Terry McLaurin. Maybe a little bit of interest in Antonio Gibson now that they have started to use him as a pass catcher more often. But he's at 5,000, so you know, it's not like you're getting up. Well, he will make my MME pool. I don't know if Antonio Gibson will make my single entry three max pool.
Yeah, it's definitely the type of guy, I mean, and on this team especially, that I think you're staying away from in that type of guy. It does seem he started to progress upwards as far as how they're utilizing since like the first week of the season, and definitely have some degree of comfort there. He's still kind of playing like splitting time with JD McKissick, but you have seen more utilized around the goal line, which is obviously a plus because earlier in the year they were feeding Peyton Barber in that scenario. And I agree with you. I think Terry McLaurin is kind of the guy that you're looking to. Beyond that, you know, Stevenson Jr. was inactive last week, might be back this week. You're not really targeting the depth guys, even in a game stack environment. So I guess on the Rams side, it's trying to figure out, well, the running back splits for sure are important. Darrell Henderson, Malcolm Brown, whether or not Cam Akers will be back, will kind of potentially make that into like a 2.5 or three-headed backfield. So are you interested in the Rams side specifically with the running backs? Are you possibly going to double stack Jared Goff at all?
No to the running backs. Like, I think that there are enough good spots at running back this week that you don't need to take the Cam Akers, Darrell Henderson plunge. I mean, it's like a fine enough matchup, and maybe Henderson could score 24 DraftKings points at, you know, like 2% owned or whatever this week, and I'll look like an idiot with egg on my face, but it just doesn't seem to me like the most appealing spot. The Rams I would most like to play would be Cup and Woods, and every time you play Goff, you do need to double stack him because he has like no rushing upside at all. So I do think that there is I do think there's a little bit of logic there, but yeah, I'm not super into this game overall.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. I think the only way I'd really get on this game is with the double stack Goff, Cup, Woods, bring it back with McLaurin, and all these guys should be 5% rostered, so it'll be contrarian.
Yeah. All right, moving to our next game, Cincinnati at Baltimore. Now, this one is really interesting because the Bengals have been so pass-heavy when they trail that Drew Sample, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, those guys make pretty interesting bringbacks. And Marquise Brown had 219 air yards last week for the Baltimore Ravens. Like, he is so close to the explosion game. We have not gotten the perfect marriage of Ravens playing a competitive game script against the team that passes a lot because they got blown out by the Chiefs. If this game was somehow competitive, Lamar and those guys could just score so many fantasy points.
Yeah, and I mean, I think even the competitive, I mean, the game last week against Washington was like reasonably competitive for a period of time, but it still wasn't enough. Like, you need it not just to be competitive, but you need it to be competitive back and forth. Like, you know, not competitive just because Baltimore is laying an egg or something like that in the first half. And I definitely agree with you. Marquise Brown has been inches or feet away from having monster games multiple times this year, and he has had a solid game. So I think he's pretty interesting for tournaments. It's hard to double stack Lamar with Brown and Andrews, so I guess I'm more interested in them as one-off potential plays or single stacks with Lamar. I just think the overall combination of price tags with Lamar doesn't really make that viable. But the bring back, I think, would for sure make sense, especially if you're going to double stack Lamar, because you really do need that game to shoot out and stay competitive. And the only way that's going to do it is if the Bengals are going to be successful. On the Bengals side, who would be the guy that you feel like offers the best value as a bring back? T. Higgins at 4,900, or would you pay up for like a Tyler Boyd at 6,200?
I think that T is the bring back that you want there because he would be the guy who is most likely to score two touchdowns. Like, Boyd could catch like 12 passes or something like that, but I think that Higgins, and also, you know, Higgins is cheaper, and so that allows you to makes it easier to get Mark Andrews in there. Boyd at 6,200 doesn't seem really all that strong, I think. We are now up to Miami, San Francisco, and I think there is probably one guy that I'm interested in playing in this game, and it's going to be Jerick McKinnon, and that's it. I don't really want to play Kittle. Not really interested in playing Debo, Ayuk, and then, you know, not much interest on the Miami side either.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's start, I guess, with the news in this game. Ryan Fitzpatrick expected to start again. Dolphins did kind of come out, say they're not going to start Tua. Seems plausible that he get a start in the next couple games if things continue to go bad, and they are expected to go bad again this week. Just starting on the road against San Francisco, not ideal. So, I mean, there's not a guy priced cheap enough in Miami to put them into play for me regardless. And so that side is mostly a fade. For San Francisco, I guess there are relevant news pieces. I know you're pretty interested in McKinnon, but Raheem Mostert could be back this week. And so if he's back, McKinnon, not that he's been like an alpha workload running back, but he was kind of getting the first crack at things. And so I think Mostert would start to be the guy that gets the first crack around the goal line. And so it would kind of shuttle McKinnon back into that more secondary play. And I feel like his price is just high enough that it wouldn't be worth it if Mostert is back. So the other piece for San Francisco is we don't have any clarity on who's going to start at quarterback after Nick Mullins was benched late in that game against the Eagles. Jimmy Garoppolo is still not confirmed whether or not he'll be back this week. And so we could have Beathard, or we could have Nick Mullins, or even Jimmy G coming back this week. Any interest in any of the passing game weapons here for San Francisco? And does Mostert impact your opinion on McKinnon if he's healthy?
I mean, yes. If Mostert is back, I would not play any McKinnon at all. But if Mostert is out again, I mean, I think that they're kind of, because the 49ers have been scuffling in terms of passing, I actually don't think they like have the luxury of, you know, not waiting. Using McKinnon. Yeah. Like I think that if Jimmy G was healthy and the offense was just, you know, kind of like they were doing all the cool Shanahan stuff and scoring 30 points a game, they'd be using Jeff Wilson Jr. They'd be using Jamichael Hasty, but like, they actually just need Jerick McKinnon to touch the ball 20 times a game because he has the best handle on the offense, and he is their right. I mean, Jerick McKinnon has been the best offensive player for the 49ers. He is 10th in the NFL in PPR points at the running back position. Yeah, yeah. He is worth, he's worth rostering if no some, McKinnon.
Or some prices. No, yeah, Brandon Ayuk had that sick leaping play, $5,200. His price is pretty reasonable. Debo Samuel was limited in his first game back. Would expect him progressively to be eased more back in, kind of coming off, especially if you get good practice reports. But the 49ers did mention that they want to be careful with him. And so he played 34% of snaps last week. I would expect that to tick up to like 50 or 60, but maybe not all the way up to the 90 that we'll probably get out of him in like 3 or 4 weeks. So I do kind of agree with you that outside of maybe Ayuk, I'd probably be fading the passing game. And then Kittle, I think if you're looking to spend up a tight end, obviously still has a massive ceiling.
Yeah. All right, let's do it. Game of the week. Well, maybe it's not the game of the week. Maybe it's not how ownership will end up playing out, but I think it's the game of the week. The New York Giants at the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys have gained 200 more yards than every other team in football. They have scored over 35 points in three straight games. Basically, you know, the only thing that they haven't been able to do is win games. And they get Daniel Jones this week, who had a super tough schedule to start, but it's now looking like, you know, he has basically the easiest matchup in football against the Dallas Cowboys. What are we doing? Specifically, I mean, what are you doing with the Giants? Do you think that this is a premium stack this week, or do you think this is a case of people waiting matchup too heavily and Daniel Jones is actually still really volatile and terrible?
I think it's a premium value because the prices don't seem to be adjusting too heavily for the matchup. And so you have a situation where the Giants offense has become more pass heavy, partly because they've been trailing and partly because they've lost the running back talent. And then you have a situation where it's become more concentrated because Sterling Shepard has been out. So you've got now Darius Slayton, Evan Ingram, kind of options one and two with Golden Tate, like a 2B type of situation. And all those guys, the wide receivers, are all priced below $5,000. I would expect them over time to come up towards like that $5,600 range. So I don't think the roles changing or the matchup has been priced in because of that. I do think the Giants value is a really good play. And I'm certainly comfortable stomaching it. I think with them on the road that it's not going to get overwhelmingly popular, and there aren't enough, especially in lower stakes stuff, there aren't enough strong game logs there for people to chase too heavily. So I don't think the Giants is a trap. And I do think if you are going to stack Dallas, that you definitely want to be bringing it back with at least one of Slayton, Ingram, or even Golden Tate.
I mean, not only is Evan Engram only 4,600 and he has like a strong target share and a strong amount of expected points this season, but he fills tight end, which has just been this empty hole of terribleness in fantasy this year. Like there are two good tight ends in fantasy. It's been Kittle and Kelsey, and then Andrews has had two good games and like two games of like four PPR points. So I am big on the Evan Engram stack and the Evan Engram bring back this week because it fills that spot, and that spot sucks.
And you kind of were faced with the same decision last week with whether or not to play Austin Hooper on one of your Cowboy stacks or whether or not to play Dalton Schultz. And I think people are, maybe as the third Cowboys pass catcher on a team. And I think people are going to be faced with that decision again this week because Dalton Schultz's price is still 4,800. So he's not markedly more expensive than Engram. He's more likely to score a touchdown just by nature of the offense and their team total. And I think that's another thing. He's the third or fourth, probably the fourth and fifth option on the passing attack. And so he's not going to be super popular either, despite having a pretty strong game log since he took over the starting role. I guess, would you triple stack Dak on DraftKings, or would you try to bring it back with Engram?
No, instead of triple stacking, I would double bring back. So like I would do Gallup, Cooper, Engram, Slayton, or Tate, or whatever. Like I would that's the direction I would go.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I wanted to get your feedback on a few other items here because the Cowboys are running 75 play games to start the season. That number should regress over time. And their opponents are running a league high as far as number of plays as well. Or maybe not. Yeah, league high is 69.8 plays per game. And so that also you would expect to regress over time. That would make the volumes look lower for the Cowboys wide receivers. And so I don't know, where would you try to project the play counts in this game for both teams? And do you think that, how long do you think this can sustain at those levels for Dallas?
My thought is that this is kind of the game where it's like Dak passes for 280 yards and two passing touchdowns and like things kind of normalize, because obviously he's not going to throw for 6,000 yards. They're not going to be behind two touchdowns in every single game. And I've obviously whatever week it does happen for the Cowboys, I'm going to get burnt by it, because it's not like I'm going to stop rostering them, but everything through the first four games of the season has been perfect for the Cowboys to run that many plays and for their opponents to run that many plays, because up by two touchdowns, you actually run more plays because you run the ball. And so you kind of sustain those drives and you take more time off the clock. And then when you take more time off the clock, it makes the losing team run more plays because they're trying to score as fast as possible. So it's just like, it's been the perfect marriage. And I think it probably does slow down this week.
Yeah, and I think it's another week where Michael Gallup starts to get a little bit overlooked. Amari Cooper probably more popular just coming off of what happened last week. And, the Gallup's going to be up and down player throughout the course of the season. I think it makes sense to mix him in. Even in three max, I think it makes sense to mix him in. And I like you. I mean, I think you have to stack this game if you're gonna go on the Dallas side. You have to bring it back, because otherwise it's definitely possible that this is like the
Zeke
Elliott
game.
Yeah. And I played some of that angle last week, but...
Yeah, I mean, I played Zeke in cash last week and he was fine, but obviously he wasn't a part of the best possible route. So, all right, we have the Indianapolis Colts at the Cleveland Browns. Kareem Hunt, I think, is like the best play of the slate. No Nick Chubb, not the best play, but Kareem Hunt, Mike Davis, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Ezekiel Elliott, those guys are all pretty freaking good plays. But outside of that, not super interested in Odell. Don't like either of these quarterbacks. Don't like any of the tight ends from this game. Don't like any of the Colts wide receivers.
Yeah, so I guess with Kareem Hunt, to go a little bit more in depth on that, Nick Chubb getting hurt last game, Kareem Hunt had always been strongly involved in the passing game. And so I think this kind of gave us a little bit more comfort, especially in the red zone around the goal line, that he could potentially be used. But you did see Dearness Johnson get 13 carries last week to Hunt's 11. And does that concern you at all? And like, how much of a workload do you think Dearness Johnson will eat into? Because it was a good game script, a good run heavy game script for the Browns because of like how much they were up on Dallas.
I am not really that worried about it. Dearness Johnson ran a 4.8640. Like, I think it was just one of those things that happened in the flow of the game. Kareem Hunt is a lot better than him. I don't have really any concerns about Dearness Johnson.
Yeah, I guess I have some more concerns for you than you do, just because like it was important for them to put away the game. I guess it was multi-touchdown leads, but I guess I'm at least a little bit more concerned, even though Hunt's way better, that the coaches still give Darnus a little bit too much workload.
Yep. All right. Now we have the New England Patriots at home against the Denver Broncos. Maybe. Yeah, it seems like this game, I mean, the NFL said we think that this game is going to be happening. No change on that status yet, but Stephon Gilmore did test positive for the coronavirus after playing in that Monday night game against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's not great, but this is definitely a candidate to be one of the least watched Patriots games of the decade. I mean, this is not going to be a good game at home to the Denver Broncos.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, we don't know if Brian Hoyer will start at quarterback. I don't think. We don't know if it'll be Jarrett Stidham. Stidham did come in late in the fourth quarter against Kansas City, threw a couple picks, but the first one, at least the pick six, wasn't his fault. Went off Edelman's hands. This game's going to be pretty ugly on both sides, right? Like for Denver, Philip Lindsay probably going to be back this week. So kind of erases Melvin Gordon from any consideration that you might have there. Against the Patriots, I guess with Gilmore out, that weakens them a little bit, but you're still not expecting a team total above like 20 for Denver. So I think it's mostly a pass. I guess the one player that might be in consideration is Damien Harris, is just 4,300. If you get a pretty run heavy game plan from the Patriots, like you did against Kansas City, but you especially could get that this week, and they could be playing from ahead this week. Harris just cracked the 100 yard bonus and did work into some of the red zone stuff. Seemed like they still probably wanted to use Rex Burkhead at the goal line, but 4,300, I feel like Damien Harris, at least there's like at least a little bit of a pause there. No.
So I, not only did he play a bunch, but I thought that he, kind of looked good, right? The whole game, There were definitely some spots where I was like, wow, this guy is just fancy Sony Michel. But then there were some other spots where you're like, oh yeah, you know, it makes sense why Patriots fans were hyped to get this guy back and not have Sony Michel or James White in the backfield, because he looks like he can do a little bit of both. Like, he looks like maybe the right definition of him is fancy Rex Burkhead, where he can play anywhere they are on the field and be like fine, but you know, obviously better than Sony.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And you know, White was definitely involved in the passing game, but if they're able to play from ahead, I don't know. I mean, you're not super excited. You're kind of grasping here.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there is just in finding cheap running backs, because so many people are going to be paying up at running back. Like, it just gets you into different, constructions. And I think that is at least worth toying with and thinking about. Cause not like we need to think about chalk, not only in terms of the players, but in terms of roster constructions, and it just gets you into needing different things from the games than other people do. So that was the slate games. You know, we covered a lot of the top plays, Mike Davis, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Obviously not a ton of talk on, DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Will Fuller, like, because those guys are just self-explanatory good plays. We've gone through every game in the NFL DFS main slate, and we are now announcing our favorite game stack. Thought over the break, and I gotta say, I know what I'm gonna do when I go to create my lineups on Sunday. I definitely am going to be jamming it in the New York Football Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. We have the very easy stacks on the Dallas side. We have Tate, Slayton, and Ingram as our primary weapons on the Giants side. So, you know what? I'm just going to give Jason Garrett and Joe Judge a chance to really just screw me over and give Daniel Jones a chance to fumble away, you know, all of my kind nature. But that's where I'm going. I do think Giants Cowboys is the best stack spot.
So are you stacking this game both ways? Like, are you playing both Dak and Daniel Jones in 3-max, or are you sticking just to the Dallas side of the game and bringing it back with some of the Giants pieces?
I actually think the Giants side is the side you want in single entry in 3-max, because, again, Olamid Zaccheaus, who no one has heard of until this week, is just going to be such stone chalk that if you don't have to go down to that minimum range at wide receiver, it's actually going to give you a big construction edge this week, I think.
Yeah, I think that's fair. My favorite game to sack this week is going to be the Carolina-Atlanta game. I think I'm still playing Olamide Zaccheaus in some of those stacks, but I think there are plenty of ways to stack this game without him, and that'll give you different roster construction in general. I do think if you're not stacking Dallas-New York Giants, I mean, there's not a better recipe for expected play volume and passing plays specifically than Carolina, Atlanta. I think that the Carolina side specifically is pretty interesting because their team total at 26 is high. It'll pivot off of Mike Davis a little bit. You'll get the Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore exposure there. You can include Mike Davis in your groups of pass catchers there as well if you want in MME runs. So I think that's my favorite way, potentially stacking the Carolina side, potentially trying to bring it back with Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus and Calvin Ridley and getting some leverage that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that makes a ton of sense. I mean, I also think that, you know, the fact that you can probably get Teddy Bridgewater at a big ownership discount to Matt Ryan, I think that makes sense in that game. I think the fact that DJ Moore is such an obvious buy low candidate makes that, again, you know, a really strong spot. So I think that both of these games are likely to be, you know, feature a lot of ownership, but, you know, not too much. Like, I think that, you know, you're not going to be like worried about getting duped or anything crazy like that. So everyone, thank you very much for watching and listening to the Daily Roto Hour here on Sports Grid TV or listening to it on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. We had a great time going through these games, and we will be back next week to go game by game. Everyone, good luck on Sunday with your teams.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.